Amen. If we didn't show up for anything else, I'm thankful I got to tell him he was worthy tonight. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter number 33. Amen. Exodus chapter number 33. And if you know your Bible, you know Exodus. The main theme of Exodus is the children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt. Moses has led them out of Egypt and through the wilderness. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But Moses, we know his story. He began as a child, as the king, the Pharaoh of that time, was trying to kill all of the male babies. And his mother put him in an ark and put him in the river. Amen. And I was telling my wife the other day, I was listening to a podcast, and I thought this was good. I'll just share it with y'all, and we'll keep moving on. But it says, what a lesson for mothers and fathers. At some point, you just got to give your child to the Lord and trust God with them. Amen. And I thought that was good. I wrote that in my Bible, and I hope I can remember that. Amen. There's times in our life where we're just going to have to trust God. Amen. And so she trusts God with her son, and praise the Lord, God saved her son. He grew up in the palace, and he saw somebody beating on one of his kinfolk, and he got mad about it, amen, just like anybody would, and he killed him. Don't do that, amen. He killed him and buried him in the sand, and he thought he got away with it till the next day. He got mad with somebody, and they said, what you going to do, kill me like you did that dude yesterday? And could you imagine his heart hitting his stomach? Amen. Oh, they know. And before you know it, Moses has struck out. He has got out of Dodge, fearing for his life. He gets to the backside of a desert. He meets his wife. He begins to work for his father-in-law. He's tending the sheep. And he's out there in the middle of the desert. And he's walking around. And all of a sudden, he sees this bush that looks a little different than normal. Amen. It's got a little glow to it. It's got a little heat coming from it. Amen. And it was on fire, but it was not consumed. It was not burning up. And so he was curious. And I almost preached on this. I preached it to the teens a few weeks ago. The Bible says, and when Moses turned to see. In other words, when Moses began to get closer to God, God began to speak to Moses. And you can come to church and you can look at everybody else burn for God. And you can look at the things of God and the power of God. But until you get curious enough to want to see what it's about, you're not going to hear from him. Amen. And so he turns towards this bush and God begins to speak to him and begins to give him a calling. He says, I want you to go and get these people out of Egypt. And of course, Moses, everybody likes to blame Moses, but he was just like us. He begins to throw out excuses. He begins to question himself. God says, no, I got you. You got this. And so Moses returns to Egypt. Could you imagine the fear that he had in his heart returning back to the place where he has broken the law, where he has done something that he shouldn't have, the fear of the trouble that he may be in? And he comes and he goes before Pharaoh, and as we all know, he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, I'm good. And God said, watch this. All right, and he sent 10 plagues on Egypt. And after that 10th one, when all the firstborn started dying, Pharaoh said, okay, I get it. Get out of here. Well, they take off running, as we all know. They get down to the Red Sea. And they ain't got nowhere to go. They turn around and Pharaoh's coming behind them. They said, oh, Lord, help us. They start whining and complaining just like Baptists do. And Moses goes over here. And don't even think Moses was spiritual. He was scared to death. Amen. And he starts praying and said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, just do what I tell you. He got over there, split the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. And I do believe it was dry ground. Amen. I don't think there was any puddles they had to walk through, Brother Jesse. The Bible says dry ground. I believe it. Amen. I believe it was dry ground. They walked across the dry ground. And if that wasn't enough, Miss Lucy, they get to the other side. They turn around and God swallows up the Egyptians. Amen. He conquers their enemy. And they begin to keep on going. They come to a place called Marah where the water is bitter. We all know that. And God changes it to sweet. And I'm so thankful that God can make bitter things sweet. Amen. And I don't know who needed to hear that, but somebody did. Amen. God can turn the bitter things that you have in your life into very sweet things if you'll allow him to do that. Amen. But fast forward all the way up to Exodus chapter number 32, 33, and 34. In chapter number 32, one of the most famous chapters in the whole Bible, Moses goes up on top of the mountain and he meets with God. And God gives him two tables. The Bible calls them two tables of testimony. Amen. We know them to be the Ten Commandments. And God tells Moses, hey, you better get back down there. Them people's acting like their mama. Amen. I'm just kidding. They acting crazy down there. So he comes back down and he started hearing some music. He looked and said, what in the world? Them people look like they're dancing. He got down there and there's a golden calf that's set up and the children of Israel are worshiping it. Now just let me stop right here and say this. Is that not the craziest thing you've ever heard? The God that brought you through the Red Sea, that'd have been enough for me, amen. I mean, if he split the Red Sea, I walked across on dry ground, I wouldn't have a problem with idolatry anymore. Amen. I know who God is. I ain't never seen nobody else do that. Amen. Can I get amen? Am I just crazy? Okay. I mean, if I drank the water and it was bitter and somebody walked over there with a stick and did like this and said, Lord, fix it. And all of a sudden it was sweet. What are we doubting for, right? We've just seen God do a miracle. We've just seen God do something great, right? Wrong. We point the finger at the children of Israel. How could you do that? How could you do that? But you know what? When Jesus was on this earth, people walked and talked with him every day and watched his miracles and still didn't believe in him. And so we scratch our head, what in the world? And so Moses, he had a little bit of an anger problem, amen. He got mad, and the Bible says he throws the tables of testimony down, and they break. How many of y'all have ever done something and immediately regretted it? Or is it just me? Amen. Men, can I get a witness? You've had a bad day. You walk in. You try to, you say, you know what? I'm had a bad day. I'm going to make her day great. And you start cleaning the house, Brother Jesse. You ain't never done that? I don't know about anybody else I could pick. Amen. This is what I do. All right. I come in, I clean the house, I'll make my wife happy, right? I go over there, I'm washing the dishes, right? Praise the Lord, we just got a new house, and we got a dishwasher, amen. All I got to do is put them in there now. Somebody say amen. Some of the old men's like, yeah, I got a dishwasher too, my wife, amen. Easy. So I'm over there cleaning, I'm vacuuming the floor, I'm mopping. Brother Bear, I'm just trying to make my wife happy, right? Because I know if she smiles, I'm going to smile. Mama's happy, what? Everybody happy, right? I think I got it, Brother Brian. I think I got it. And I walk in, and she walks in. And, you know, how many of y'all know what the five love languages is? Y'all know that? Mine is, what is it? Words of affirmation. Is that it? I mean, I like it when my wife says, baby, you did good. Thank you, baby. You're the best. I ain't never seen nobody sweep the floor like you did. I mean, that's what I need to hear, Brother Brian. And she walks in and says, really, you didn't take out the trash? Huh? And before you know it, Brother Mike, I done crawled all over it. And immediately, somebody say, amen, I have regretted my decision. As she looks through my soul, amen. And I fear for my life. No, I'm just kidding. Are y'all with me? I fear for my life. I regret I got you. You with me? All right. I can imagine Moses throwing him down out of anger. By the way, he was mad about something he probably should have been mad about. Amen. But he overreacted and he throws the things down. And I can imagine, just like me, Moses regretted his decision. He has just took something sacred, something that God himself put his finger on and handed it to him, and he's broken it. Now, for most people today, Brother Jesse, that's where they quit. And they say things like this: he won't never use me again. I can't believe I did that. How many of y'all have ever been embarrassed to ask for forgiveness? Anybody? I'm just being honest with y'all tonight. Sometimes I don't even want to pray because I'm coming to you again, Lord. I messed up again. I don't even know how you're going to forgive me. I don't even know how you can look past this. How are you even going to use me after this? Anybody ever felt that way, or is it just me? I'm just going to preach to myself, amen? And then we have chapter number 34. If you go to chapter number 34 real quick, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest." Now I want y'all to notice this. In chapter number 32, we see what? Failure. Everybody say it with me. In chapter number 32, we see what? Failure. In chapter number 34, we see a second chance. Are y'all with me? He's broke something. Chapter number 34, the very first verse, God says, "Hey, it's all right. Go get some more of them rocks, and I'll fix it." Amen? But I want to look in chapter number 33 tonight. Sandwiched in between failure and a second chance, this is what I want to call chapter number 33. Restoration. Restoration. I want to talk to somebody tonight that's failed. And by the way, when I say I want to talk to somebody, I want to say this. I want to talk to everybody. Because we've all what? Failed. We've all had a chapter number 32. And by the grace of God, we're all can have a chapter number 34. But to have a chapter number 34, we must have a chapter number 33. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Am I making sense? Are y'all's gears turning? Amen. Here we go. Let's start reading in verse number 6. Excuse me. And the Lord, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse number 6. Here we go. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at the tent at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses, and let me just stop right here and say this. With so many people trying to get out of the house of God, I'm thankful that there's some that just like to stay in it. Amen? I just wanted to say that real quick. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I'm going to stop right there tonight. Amen. We're talking about restoration. We're talking about the middle piece between failure and a second chance. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Number one, for us to get to our second chance, for us to get our restoration, for us to get to the place where we need to be with Christ, and I'm just going to go out on a limb right here and say this, not everybody that's in this room tonight is where they need to be with Christ. And I want to say this for myself. I'm not where I need to be with Christ. There's some things in my life as I've read this text, as I'm trying to apply the word, as I'm trying to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, there are things in my life based off of this text that I need to begin to start doing. Amen. We're all failures. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have failed, but every single one of us can be restored. Number one, I want you to notice this. Five lessons, real quick. Five lessons we learn out of this chapter. Number one, a distracted Christian is a dangerous Christian. A distracted Christian is a dangerous Christian. I want you to look with me in verse number 6. The Bible says, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. I want you to notice that they stripped their ornaments. If you look up this word ornaments, it is gold, it is earrings, it is jewelry. Now, what is so significant about gold, earrings, and jewelry in this story? This is the significance of it. Just back in chapter number 32, the Bible says that when they made the calf, out the golden image, the golden calf, what did they use to make the calf? The earrings, the jewelry. And so we find in chapter number 33 that they have begun to what? They're taking off the distraction. They're taking off the temptation. Are y'all with me? They're taking off the temptation to fall back into idolatry. And here's the thing. Everybody stay with me right here. A lot of us are saying, Lord, we're repenting. We're repenting. Let me rephrase this. We're regretting and we're asking for forgiveness, but we still got our earrings on. Are y'all with me? Say amen. We're saying, Lord, I shouldn't have done that, but then we carry it with us tomorrow. And we allow it to be close enough that we can fail once again. Are y'all with me? Say amen. My dad used to tell me this all the time. When temptation meets opportunity, that's when you have a problem. When temptation meets opportunity, that's when you have a problem. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. We cannot have temptation. Stay with me. Temptation is always going to be there. Somebody say amen. If you have some of this stuff right here on your bones called flesh, temptation is always going to be there. The thing that we can control is the opportunity. The opportunity. How do we control the opportunity? We do not put ourselves in a place of opportunity. In other words, if God says, I don't want you to make a calf no more, get rid of everything you could build a calf with. Amen. I preach this to teenagers all the time. All right, temptation is always going to be there, but you have to get rid of opportunity. What does that mean? Don't get in the back seat of a car. Are y'all with me? Don't download the app. Don't send a text message. What are you saying? Get rid of the opportunity. You're not going to be able to control the temptation, but you can control the opportunity. Amen. And God, and right here we see the children of Israel. They are still going to be tempted because they have flesh. They're sinners just like you and I. But they must control the opportunity. And what do? They begin to get rid of their ornaments. I want you to notice this. The reason that they built a calf in the first place was because they were impatient. They were impatient. The Bible says they got tired of waiting on Moses to come off the mountain. And so they built a calf. And I want to say this. Idle hands, when you get impatient, when you get bored, can I say that? That is when you are most likely to sin. Amen. And so they begin to get rid of their ornaments. How do we restore? How can we get back to where we're supposed to be? How can we move on from chapter number 32? You better start getting rid of some distraction. You better start getting rid of some opportunities that may cause you to fall in the future. Can I get an amen? Many times, we tell ourselves, I can handle it. I can handle it. Let me just be straight with you.
You can't.
You can't. You can't. If you could handle it, then why do we have chapter number 32 over here? We must get rid of our distraction. Distracted Christian is a dangerous Christian. Amen. Let me ask you this question. What are you carrying today that will cause you to fail tomorrow? What are you carrying right now that's going to cause you to fail tomorrow? Number one, a distracted Christian is a dangerous Christian. Number two, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Let me say that again. If it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. What do you mean by that, Brother Dalton? I'll tell you. Verse number 7. The Bible says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. In other words, Moses knew that the tabernacle needed to be built, but he didn't build it where it was easy to get to. The Bible says that he took it outside the camp and built it outside the camp. What are you trying to say? In other words, to get to the tabernacle, to get to the place of God, they had to leave where they were. If we're going to get past chapter number 32, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get up and leave where we were. And I'll say that again. Let me say my point again so that now we know where we're going. If it doesn't challenge you, it's not going to change you. How many of y'all have ever got comfortable somewhere and it hurt you? If you ain't raising your hand, you ought to be. Amen? When we challenge ourselves, we change. Amen. Moses said, I'm not going to stay in my comfort zone. I'm going to get outside of my comfort zone so that I can begin the restoration process in my life. Amen. Let me say this. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. Amen. I love this quote. Don't be mad with the results that you don't get from the work that you didn't do. You can't get mad because you ain't getting the results you want to see when you ain't doing the work. Don't get mad because you ain't skinny when you eating donuts all the time. Say amen. Can I get amen? Y'all pray for me as I'm rocking this dad bod up here. Amen. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. Moses realized, okay, I'm too comfortable where I'm at. There has to be a change. And before you ever going to start this restoration process, you must understand this. I've got to what? Change. I've got to get out of my comfort zone. Amen. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready for a change? I'm moving quickly. Number one, a distracted Christian is a dangerous Christian. Number two, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Number three, everybody ready? He will speak, but you must listen. How many of y'all know somebody who can speak real good but can't listen? Say amen. All the parents ought to be raising your hand right now. I just gave you an opportunity to raise your hand in church and say amen right there. Amen. You know somebody who you're trying to talk to and they always got to one-up your story? Does that not make you want to kick them in the teeth? Can I get amen? Somebody's calling me. That's of the devil right there. Somebody say amen. Potential spam. How many of y'all know somebody? You try to talk to them, you can't get a word in because they just constantly. Sometimes, listen, we must be quiet. We must be quiet and listen to what God is trying to say to us. Are y'all with me? I know this sounds simple and elementary, but I think we all need this reminder sometimes because we are quick to pray. I'll say that again. We are quick to pray, but we are slow to listen. Or let me say it like this. We're quick to pray and we're slow to read. Are y'all with me? Look what happens right here. Verse number 9. Verse number 11. I was a little jealous of Moses when I read this. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And listen to this next phrase. And the Lord talked with Moses. Do y'all see that? Verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, son of Nun, stayed back. All right, listen. Moses listened. How can we get past chapter number 32? I messed up. I failed. Okay, calm down. Listen. Calm down and listen. God is trying to speak to you. Amen. What does Moses tell us that God said to him in verse number 12? Bible says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me. What is he saying right here? He's fixing to tell us what God told him. Amen. You've messed up, Moses. But look what he says in verse number 12. Bring up this people. Number one, what is the first thing he tells Moses? I still got something for you to do. You've messed up. You've made a mistake. You feel terrible about it. You don't even want to talk to me about it. But I want to encourage you, Moses. I still have something for you to do. And it's the same thing I wanted you to do before you messed up. Amen. I don't know who needs to hear this in here tonight. But just because you messed up doesn't mean God's through with you. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean God's going to wash his hands of you. God still has a job for you to do. He still has a purpose in your life. Amen. He says to Moses, hey, bring these people up. In other words, hey, I'm still using you, son. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me, yet thou hast said, Moses is talking about God here. He says, thou hast said, I know thee by name. So he not only gives him a purpose, he reminds him of his purpose. He says, I still got something for you to do, Moses. But he also gives him, he also speaks peace into his life. He says, Moses, I know you by your name. Does that not bring peace to anybody besides myself tonight? When I have messed up, when I have failed, when I'm in a dark area in my life, God still knows exactly what my name is. Amen. So he gives him peace. He says, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. And then look what he says to him in verse number 14. The Bible says, and he said, this is God speaking to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So we see God here speaks to Moses, and he says, I still got something for you to do. He encourages him, and he says, it's all right, Moses, I still know your name, and you have found grace in my sight. Then he gives him a promise. He says, and Moses, by the way, I know you messed up, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. I like the word he used. He said, my presence shall go with thee. I'm thankful even though I messed up, he is still ever present with me. Amen. I'm thankful that he still keeps his promises. Let me ask you this question. Are you allowing God to speak to you? You've messed up. You messed up and you've ran and told everybody else about it. And you give the Lord an earful on the way home. Let me ask you this question. Are you allowing him to speak? I know you've prayed about it, but have you allowed him to speak to you? There's some things he will tell you that will get you through. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Number four. Y'all ready for this one? These last two are my favorites, so y'all just stay with me. Number four, make sure, if we're going to get through chapter number 32, we're going to move on, make sure, number four, make sure his presence is more important than the place. Let me explain this. In verse number 13, the Bible says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Moses says, Lord, show me your way. I want to know you. I want to know you better. That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. God says to Moses, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Look at verse number 15. This is one of my new favorite verses. Amen. And Moses said, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up, carry us not up hence. I'm going to read that again. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You know what Moses was saying? If you're not going, I don't want to go. How do we get over chapter number 32? We fail, we messed up. You've got to get your priorities right. You got to make sure that his presence is more important than his placement. Everybody wants the place. Everybody wants the promised land. Everybody wants the land which floweth with milk and honey. But you better fall in love, Brother Jesse, with his presence. His presence, this is what I was talking about earlier, His presence will do more for you in a moment than the promised land ever could. Ever could. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Moses come to the place in his life where God was more important than anything. He was more important than where he lived. He was more important than what he drove. Amen. Who his friends were, what social class, and how much money was in his bank account. He was more interested in the presence of God. Amen. The place you are dreaming of is nothing without his presence. Everybody wants the place. Everybody wants to dream about the place, but nobody wants to make sure that as they're heading to that place, they keep his presence with him. Let me just say this. You wouldn't even be where you're at right now had it not been the presence of God. Is the place you are going, let me say this. If the place you are going doesn't allow his presence, it ain't worth it. Well, we're friends. We've been friends for a while. If hanging out with her or him doesn't allow the presence of God, you better not go. If going to that place doesn't encourage the presence of God, you better not go. If taking that job does not encourage the presence of God, you better not take it. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Everybody wants to make decisions. Everybody wants to get in a hurry because they're looking at the place. But you better not run after the place and lose his presence. Are y'all with me? This is good. I don't even care. Man, this got all up in my, as Brother Wendell would say it, he ain't even here tonight. This got all up in my grits. Man, how crazy is it, Brother Jim, for us to run out and make a decision and not consult the Lord to make sure he's going with us? Well, I love her. I think we ought to get married. Okay, that's fine. You better not do it if it's going to put in danger the presence of God in your life. And by the way, it will if it's not right. You want to hinder, you want to choke out the presence of God in your life, start hanging around people you shouldn't. Start watching things you shouldn't. Start going to places you shouldn't. Start hanging out with people. Start dating people you shouldn't. And watch the presence of God dry up. You want to get past chapter number 32. You ain't going to get past chapter number 32 without his presence. Moses understood that. So he said, Lord, I remember what you told me about how great that land was. I remember the grapes you told me about. I mean, I remember the milk and honey. I remember everything you told me. But Lord, I just want to be clear. I don't care to have any of that if you're not going with me. Y'all know what he said? Write this down. Moses said this, I would rather be in the wilderness in the presence of God than in the promised land by myself. Let me say that again. Moses said, I would rather be in the wilderness in the presence of God than be in the promised land all by myself. Let me ask you this question. Do you put a priority on the presence of God in your life? Before you make that decision, how much of a priority is it that God goes with you? I know we all should be convicted because I know I was when I was reading this. How many decisions have I made and not even consulted the Lord about it? I just hope he comes with me. Let me say this. We are to follow him, not lead him. Amen. Do you put a priority on the presence of God? Number five, let me say this. Not only should we make sure his presence is more important than the place. Lastly, I'm done. We should develop a desire to see his glory. We should develop a desire to see his glory. Moses has failed, but he still has a desire. Look with me in verse number 18, what the Bible says. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Somebody in here, you can't get over chapter 32 because you haven't developed a desire for his glory. Now, this is good. Y'all stay with me. Moses asked for his glory. Are y'all with me? I'm about to bust. Moses asked for his glory, but what did God give him? Let's look in verse number 19. And he said, I will make all my what? Goodness. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, I can't do that. But I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I'm fixing to run around this church shouting. Y'all just leave me alone, all right? You know what God was saying? My glory is my goodness. You want to see God's glory? Look at his goodness. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying, mom, dad, look at them children God gave you. You want to see his glory? That's his glory. Amen. The goodness of God is the glory of God. How can we get over chapter number 32? Y'all ready? Desire to see the glory of God. You know what will give you a big old bounce back from being wrong with God? Is to start looking around at the goodness of God and getting real thankful for what God has done in your life. Amen. I may not at this time be able to see the glory of God on this earth, but I can see the goodness of God everywhere I look. Amen. You can't see the glory of God, so he sends his goodness. Thank God. I thought about, as I was reading this, I thought about what Brother Robbie preached on last Wednesday night. Anybody remember? Come on, man. I won't tell him. Psalm chapter number 23. What does it say? Surely what? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Ain't that a blessing? Surely what? Goodness. I'm going to say that again. Surely goodness. How can I bounce back? How can I ever forgive myself? How can I get on fire for God again? How can I be excited about the things of God again? This is how. Turn around and get a good look at the goodness of God in your life. Amen. If you want to see the glory of God, look around. He's been good to us. Amen. He's been good to us. Look at that job God gave you. Look at this church God gave you. Look at the pastor, the man of God that God's put in your life. Who doesn't just preach sugar sticks and something that's going to please your ears. He challenges you to be a better Christian. Thank God. Thank God for that. You know what that is? That's the goodness of God. You got your family in church with you tonight. You know what that is? The goodness of God. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be riding down the road. I know all you parents in here with kids similar age as mine. I know y'all do this too. We'll be riding down the road. You ought to hear my kids sing. I mean, they just sing it out now. I got videos of them. Sometimes, you know what I do when I'm having a bad day? I just pull them videos out and watch the goodness of God. And just look at the goodness of God. You can go ahead, Brother Matt. Just look at the goodness of God. My dad, he loves that song we've been singing. It's called Chasing Rebels Down. I remember when he first heard it, I was playing it. And I don't know about you, but when I get a good song, I mean, it's every time I get in the car. Is anybody like that? I mean, every time I get in the car, I pull it up on my phone, I'm playing that song, right? And that's how it was when that song first came out. I mean, I play that song, Chasing Rebels Down, everywhere I went. I mean, it didn't matter how far I was, 2 minutes down the road, I'm still playing it, amen? And my kids are with me everywhere I go. And man, they done got to where they learned that song. And Brother Jeremy in the back seat, my daughter, she'll have her little Cinderella baton thing. And she'll be acting like she's got a mic. And she'll be singing loud as she can. There's an all. Brother Jackson singing with me. Chasing rebels down. Man, I look back there in that rearview mirror. Any parents ever done that? Riding down the road. Looking at rearview mirror and them kids back there singing. You know what that is? That's the goodness of God. Following me all the days of my life. And my son, he'll be over there. Now we get in the car. I don't know if y'all remember that song, Nobody Loves Me Like Jesus, that we played for the drama. And what does Weslin say? How does she say it? Turn Jesus on. Turn Jesus on. I said, yes, ma'am. Listen, if she says turn it on, we turn it on. I don't care, all right? You can go ahead and play that, Brother Matt. I turn that song on, boy, she just sings to the top of her lung. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. She don't even know. She don't even know how much he loves him, loves her. But she loves to sing about it. She ain't singing it for her. You know who she's singing it for? Me. When I look back there, you know what starts stirring up in my heart? Huh? The goodness of God. The goodness of God. I come home, my wife, she gets mad at me all the time. Just about every time we pull into the driveway, you know what I tell her? I say, y'all gonna think I'm trying to be mushy, but it's really what I say. I say, the best thing of my day is I get to come home with you three. I tell her that all the time. You know what that is? The goodness of God. How do I get over chapter 32? Quit thinking about chapter 32 and look at the glory of God. Look at the goodness of God in your life. That wife God gave you. Them kids God gave you. Man, this just tore me up today. As I was reading this, I was studying. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He said, I can't show you my glory, it'll kill you. But I can show you something. I'll show you my goodness. And my goodness is just as good. I wonder if somebody in here tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if somebody in here tonight, you're in the middle of chapter 32. Maybe just today you said, Lord, I don't even know how you can use me anymore. Maybe just today you questioned yourself. Maybe just today you questioned your ability. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't dwell in chapter 32. Because there's a chapter 34. Get rid of those distractions. Maybe somebody needs to come down to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I've got too many distractions. I can't seem to get out of chapter number 32. Maybe it's because you're still wearing all the distractions that got you into chapter 32 in the first place. Maybe somebody needs to step out of their comfort zone. Say, Lord, what I've been doing obviously ain't working. Lord, let me change. Lord, help me to be better. Maybe somebody needs to quit talking and start listening. Maybe somebody needs to get their priorities right and start focusing on God's presence more than we focus on God's place. Maybe somebody in here tonight needs to look around and see the goodness of God all around you. These altars are open. I encourage you to use them. There is restoration. There is a chapter 34 waiting on you. But you got to leave camp and go find the presence of the Lord. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, I thank you for your blessings in my life. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that every day I wake up, I look around, I see the goodness of God. Lord, if nothing else will pull me through, that will. Lord, I'm so thankful for your goodness. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every person in here, Lord, that struggled. Lord, every person in here, Lord, who feels like a failure. Lord, every person in here, Lord, who's gone through a chapter 32. I pray that we'd not get hung up there. But understand, Lord, that you're forgiving God. You're restoring God. Lord, I pray that we'd all, Lord, get back up on our feet and keep going. Lord, I thank you so much for second chances. Lord, I know you gave me a lot more than second chances. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I don't deserve one of them. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, every single one of us. Lord, as we go into our week this week, Lord, help us to dive back into your word. Lord, help us to get close to you again. Maybe there's somebody in here, Lord, that's wandered off. They're not where they need to be. God, I pray that you'd wrap your arm around them tonight. Lord, encourage them tonight. Give them peace. Lord, give them a promise. Remind them of their purpose. Speak to them, Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed.